Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
You asked for it. You got it. This is your election cheat sheet edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. I'm going to introduce you to three people running for offices on Tuesday. There's early voting available. You can get in there and go. And a lot of this is obviously based in Kansas and Johnson County, but we're going to talk about school boards outside of there as well, as there's not much going on in Missouri. We'll focus on lower level positions that are incredibly hard for people to understand, which are the conservative candidates and why they're important. I cannot thank all of you enough for sending the information in. I'll introduce you as short interviews with three different candidates. Mike Zinnege is running for mayor of Overland Park. Mark Hamill is running for Johnson County Board of Trustees for the Community College. And Jennifer Gilmore is running for the Olathe School District. They will tell us about people that are running for their positions or for the council, in the case of Overland Park, that are also conservative. So we'll cover all three of those within the interview portions. Then we're going to run down a bunch of other positions. Important note here right at the start of this podcast, especially in Johnson County, where there are so many municipalities and school board positions up for grabs on this Tuesday, Johnson County Republican Party, their website, it's very simple, jcrpks.org. That's Johnson County Republican Party, Kansas.org. Go to jcrpks.org. Learn all about which council members they endorse. If you're living outside of Johnson County, if this is in Wyandotte, or we've got some things going on in Lansing, Topeka we'll talk about, some other school districts and places around. If you don't live in Johnson County, you have a local website you can go to learn about city council, mayor, things like that. Don't be afraid to ask your friends. Find out who the conservatives are. Kansas Republican Party also has a website that's a great resource to connect you with people in your local municipality to find out exactly who you're supposed to vote for. It's very complicated when you see the road signs. We see these signs on the side of the road, and we don't know. And it's not uncommon at all for Republicans to have blue signs and Democrats to have red signs. And they will not put the elephant or the donkey on their billboard. And they're trying to confuse you. And I think they do this. It's nonpartisan. And they try to confuse you in the states of Kansas and Missouri for one simple reason, is that benefits Democrats. If you're confusing the voters, it can only confuse them. It can only help the minority. And in this case, the Democrats are in the minority in the state of Kansas and the state of Missouri, which is what we focus on a lot right here. So we'll have those interviews for you and then our cheat sheet on our election special brought to you by Frye Orthodontics. 12 area locations for your convenience. First appointment's always free, but the best part about Frye Orthodontics is you don't wait. They run on time. This is just a well-oiled machine. They give you that perfect smile. They've got a gentle touch. They save you a few bucks in the process, and it takes less time. That's everything. FryOrthodontics.com, your smile is just the start. Marion Body Shop, a locally owned and operated by conservatives body shop with full collision repair, small jobs, paintless dent removal, even custom detailing of your ride. If you've had your car 3 or 4 years, 5 years, and it needs to be refreshed, polished up, and really cleaned inside and out, the new car image will do that. It's part of Marion Body Shop. They have their own website, thenewcarimage.com. It's truly a new level of service. That's in Kansas City or Lawrence, complete custom detailing, better than new, ceramic coating. These folks have a real passion for cars and trucks. Whether you need some dents fixed, some collision repair at Marion Body Shop, or just the new car image with custom detailing, you'll find it all at marionbodyshop.com. And of course, Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing, the finest roofer anywhere in the Midwest. Got an email from a buddy yesterday who lives about an hour north of Kansas City, maybe two. He says, does Ron Buck do work at the Lake of the Ozarks? Says, let me find out. I text Ron Buck. 2 minutes later, he texts me back. He goes, absolutely. He's going to be doing a couple of houses at the Lake of the Ozarks. He'll do it anywhere. It's not just, it's always typically been Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, but he goes east too, right down I-70. Columbia, Lake of the Ozarks, Odessa, Grain Valley, you name it. You need a new roof and you want the best? Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Time for your cheat sheet for Election Day in an off year of 2021. Hit it!
Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at WindowsKansasCity.com.
We start the election cheat sheet edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues with some news that has come out this week that is of interest for next year's election. So more on that somewhere down the road, as we'll have this gentleman on the podcast. It should be a very fascinating, interesting discussion about a really, really good guy who's running for the 4th Congressional District in Missouri, which is currently held by Vicki Hartzler. His name is Mark Alford. He anchored the Fox 4 Morning News show for over 20 years. And he is so well known in our community. It was the highest rated show and has basically led, he carried the show. He basically was the show. There's a lot of nice people on there, good people, whatever. Mark Alford had this flair, this unique personality on that broadcast for many years. And he's released a video on Thursday in the town square in Harrisonville, Missouri, where he says, basically, I can't take it in television news anymore. They're all crazy liberals in the media, and I got to do something about it by running for Congress. So this is big Congress. Mark Alford, just a few weeks ago, retired from Fox 4, and there was speculation as to what he would do next, and he basically gave one of those cryptic, stay tuned messages to everyone. I asked some people that worked at Fox 4, and they said they didn't really know what Mark Alford was going to do next, but I knew it wasn't television because there was no way he would leave his television job without another television job. It's just not the way it works. He sells real estate. He does some other things on the side in addition to broadcasting. A lot of people were saying, well, he's just going to focus on real estate. And I thought that doesn't sound right to me either. I've known Mark is a conservative for many, many years, but have never really known him well. I've met him at a couple of charity events from time to time. But when I have him on, there's some really interesting correlations between his career and my career. A lot of it had to do with Fox 4. He started there at the time that I left. In fact, his hiring was in an odd sort of way, was the impetus for me leaving Fox 4 and going into sports radio. He doesn't know that, but we'll talk about that on a future podcast. I've texted him today. We've gone back and forth. I may have a few minutes with him later Thursday and put it in a podcast by itself, but somewhere down the road, I get in my new studio, we'll have him out, and it will probably be the longest podcast we've ever done, because if I get another broadcaster in my studio face-to-face, we could go for 2 hours. It could be Joe Rogan-like. You never know what may happen, but put that on your calendar for next year. Mark Alford, very popular Fox 4 morning host, is running for the 4th district seat in the state of Missouri for Congress, and I assume Vicki Hartzler, means she's stepping down or is going to be out. It should be a slam dunk for him to go to Washington, D.C., and he'll be a great conservative voice in D.C. He's a Christian. He's a fine man. He's a family man. He stands for a lot of great things. And if you want to check him out, it's Mark Alford for Congress. And you can see exactly what he's about and see his video. So go check that out today. And we'll get Mark Alford on the podcast really soon. Let's start with the off-year elections in 2021. You can vote early right now, or you can wait until Tuesday and go to your polling place. I think, personally, the biggest race in the Kansas City metro area is the Overland Park mayor position. I think this is critically important because it's a very strong conservative against a liberal. And there hasn't been much of that in Overland Park. It's been run by a Romney-esque Republican for quite some time, which could kind of flap in the wind one way or another. This is a chance for Overland Park to take a stance on what they believe in and where they want to go. So we'll start right there with Overland Park mayor. Well, you previously were introduced to Mike Zenneke on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. He is running for mayor of Overland Park. We know Mike for mayor. We've seen the commercials. We've seen the signs. We saw the outstanding turnout that he got in the primary, which was outstanding. He's just a few days away from Election Day. There's early voting taking place, and it looks pretty good. So we thought we'd check in with Mike and get the status of the race and where we are, because I think it's probably the biggest race in Kansas City on an off-election year. Mike, how are you doing?
Kevin, I'm doing great. We're looking forward to continuing to do what we do in our campaign until Tuesday, and then we're really looking forward to the results.
So conservatives typically don't do well in early voting around the country, really, or anywhere, but you've had some good early results already. Is that correct?
We have. It started in the primary, and that's how we knew we were going to do so well in the primary, because in early voting, in the primary, when Republicans typically don't turn out of 5,300 total votes cast, Republicans had a 1,400 vote lead. Mm. So we knew we were going to do well. And that was great. And it looks like we're starting to trend that way for the general right now. The Saturday, we were only up about 50 votes. Monday and Tuesday, the lead is widening to 300 to 400 votes a day. So we hope we can pick up that pace even more. And hopefully, you know, when the listeners listen to your podcast, whenever you get this out, it will spur them on to action and get them out to vote early and convince them to talk to other people to get them to get out to vote early, because that's important.
Okay, so how many people typically vote for mayor in Overland Park? And this one will beat that, right? Because it really hasn't been much of a contest for quite a while. I mean, Overland Park mayor's been kind of a sleepy election for a while, hasn't it?
It really has, Kevin. In our primary in August, we had over 23,000 total votes cast, a little over 10% of the population, total population. And in the general, in 2017, there were only 22,000 votes. So we already had 1,000 more votes than we did in 2017 in the last off-year mayoral election. So, you know, we don't know how many votes will be cast, probably in the 30,000 range. So that's why we've been continuing to work hard in this general election. In the primary, we walked to over 13,000 houses. We had, and again, it was, you know, we had a grassroots effort. We started from nowhere, and we had over 200 volunteers walk with us in the primary, and the pace has continued. And we've already walked over 30,000 homes since the beginning of this campaign.
Wow.
Some of them twice, because, you know, once in the primary, once in the election, but a lot of new ones too. So we continue to try to make sure we're getting the message out and getting people to vote and making sure that we're going to continue to have a program in city council, starting with the new mayor, that tries to preserve the suburban way of life and the quality of life for residents of Overland Park with managed growth that paces infrastructure and schools and flooding repercussions of, you know, all in balance. And we continue to grow our city.
And that sounds exactly right. So you can't take any numbers from any past elections and project anything at this point and say, hey, here's what we need. Here's how many votes we need. This could go higher than that, it sounds like. I mean, especially if I would think, this is just a guess, I would think conservatives are really motivated right now everywhere in America to go vote and go get this thing right. If this is a big turnout, that probably helps you?
I think it does. And you're right. People are motivated. And Kurt keeps talking about a nonpartisan race. And why am I running as a Republican? One, because nobody knew who I was. And I felt being transparent, it was important for people to know who I am, what I stood for, and smaller government, more representation of people to the city council, and lower taxes and using taxes the right way. When we go out and talk to people, the energy is amazing when we talk about the things that are important to the residents, about maintaining their neighborhoods and not having things rezoned next to them. You know, and like in the primary, everybody that walks from me says, Mike is a retired business executive. He's a conservative Republican. He wants to put residents first. And when I've gone through that, you know, people who are somewhat hesitant to open the door to a stranger with COVID or for fear of anything else, as soon as you go through that, people start walking out their doors. They have a smile on their face. They shake my hand. I think when it was really, really hot outside, I even got a few sympathetic hugs. And, you know, people invite me in their homes for water and for a drink and refreshments. And it's been amazing. The energy level of from what we've experienced is, and again, you said this is my first time, but people that are walking for me who have done it for candidates year after year after year said they've never seen anything like this. Anything like it.
Well, I have spent so much of my life in Overland Park. I currently live in Lenexa, so I don't have a vote, but I'm doing everything I can for you here. I went to high school in Overland Park. I worked in Overland Park for 25 years. I lived in Overland Park for 11 years. I just think Overland Park is one of the greatest communities in America, and I think preserving her is everything for the entire Kansas City metro area. I don't think people who live maybe in the Northland or in Lee Summit or even Kansas City, Missouri, understand how important of an economic engine Overland Park, Kansas is for this entire region and what it means to protect the way we do things in Overland Park.
I agree with you. And again, going back to Kurt and some of his criticisms, he says that Overland Park is a great place to live, which we agree on. And he said, we need to keep doing the same things, which I disagree with. And the way I try to frame it for him to understand it and for residents to hear and have it resonate is we live in a great place and it's been a great place, but it's like in business. If you look at an income statement for the current year and maybe the year before, you can say, hey, we're in great shape. We're making a lot of money. Our earnings per share is good. Everything is great. Let's just keep on doing what we're doing. Unless you start peeling back the onion and look at market share, your market share might be declining over the past 5 years. Your gross margins might be declining over the past 5 years. And other things that are leading indicators about the future health of your business. That's what Kurt doesn't want to look at in Overland Park. We have rising crime. It's up 37% in violent crime in 5 years. Property crime's up 36% in 5 years. We've had a 320% tax increase on property tax since 1997 and a 10% increase just this past month. And yet we have a $250 million backlog of infrastructure and roads that can't be resurfaced anymore. They've ignored it. Mm-hmm. So you put all those things together and we live in a great place, but the leading indicators suggest there's trouble on the horizon if we don't start addressing some of these things. And in the last debate, Kurt said, Overland Park doesn't have a crime issue at all. And I said, Kurt, you need to read next door and look at all the property crimes that are happening. And 2 weeks ago, as someone woke up and heard someone in their driveway yelled out, get out of my car. They fired 20 shots of 45 caliber into his house at him. Mm. In Overland Park at about 127th and Schweitzer.
Wow.
Yeah, well, 20 shots into his house.
Well, it seems like, and I know Kurt Skoog is your opponent. I don't know if he's getting desperate at this point or if he knows what's inevitable and what's happening, but you know, he's out there saying things about you that clearly aren't true. I teased you before we started today. I said, what? Wait. A Democrat is starting to lie and make things up about their Republican opponent? No, that can't possibly be happening. He's gone to this playbook right here at the end. How effective do you think it will be for him to mischaracterize what you're about?
That's going to be up to the papers that publish it, the people that read it, the people that listen to it. But he does. He keeps saying, I'm trying to take us back to the 1970s or 60s. And that's not true. I'm trying to make sure we preserve our neighborhoods and grow in a managed way. He doesn't want to recognize that. His latest attack is that I've been spreading false information about COVID because I believe that masks and vaccines should be individual choices. I believe people should do their own research. Look at the CDC, see what they have to say. Look at a lot of other areas of around the world. This is a worldwide thing. They're seeing results in the UK from their what's actually published by United Kingdom in their health agency in week 41. They've been publishing it every week with a 4-week rolling average. They're seeing more infections from people 30 and over for those that are vaccinated per 1,000 than unvaccinated. And yet Kurt says that when I say natural immunity is stronger and longer lasting than the vaccine, he says I'm spreading false information.
Yeah.
The CDC doesn't want to recognize that yet, but it's real. And there are lots of studies that would show that it is, and that this should be an individual choice.
Yeah.
And that's been my opinion since the beginning. Do your own research. Consider all sources. Look at both sides of the issue and form your own opinion based on your specific health risks in consultation with your doctor.
Yeah, I saw a story earlier today. There have been at least 91 studies worldwide that all agree that natural immunity is better than the shot. Hey, listen, they're both great. And I think everybody should get the shot. If they want to go get it, go get it. You know, I've never had a flu shot in my life, but I don't ever remember having the flu. And you worked in a corporate environment for a long time. I remember it was the same thing wherever I worked. The same people got sick every year. They always got the flu shot at the beginning of the year because they always got sick no matter what. And unfortunately for them, they're the kind of people that get sick a lot. Fortunately for me, I've always been one that's had a body that's warded off a lot of stuff, and I don't get sick in the wintertime. I don't get the flu. I don't get a lot of maladies or have things happen to me. I got COVID. It's very contagious. It was not that bad, and I just don't feel like I'm going to get it again. I trust my body. I think my body's been pretty good to me for 57 years. I feel pretty good about it. But that's me, and I'm not telling anybody else what to do. That's just me.
Exactly. Now, if you were 57 and had a serious weight problem,
right,
you were diabetic, you had asthma, you'd had heart problems, you'd had cancer before, you might come to a different conclusion. But that's not your situation.
No.
That's not my situation. I'm 68. I've had it. It was very mild. I've just had all my blood work done. I'm in great shape. And I have antibodies and natural immunity, as has everybody in my family in Overland Park.
And then that's a
you
good
need
spot.
To know your own.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
That's a great spot to be in. So, okay, the last thing we'll do here, Mike, is we want to get everybody to vote. And I, you know, my strategy is always like, you got to find at least one person. If you listen to this podcast, you live in Overland Park, you have to vote for Mike for mayor. That's period. That's end of statement. You got to go do this. You need to find one other person to go with you, whether it's a spouse, a friend, somebody who, you know, a lot of people only vote every 4 years when it's a presidential election. You know those people. They're in your circle of friends. Say, hey, how about if I come pick you up and let's go vote? It won't take very long. The lines aren't going to be long. Let's go vote for Mike, and let's make sure that Overland Park stays Overland Park and it remains a great community. And if you really want to be, I'm calling these like voter super election super spreaders, go find 10 people and super spread Mike for mayor. And all of you go to the polls at the same time and say, this ain't happening. Kurt Skoog ain't getting this. Mike for mayor is going to run Overland Park, and we're going to get more conservative than less conservative. That's very important.
I couldn't agree with you more. And look to make sure you're voting for your right city council member too, your board of education in Johnson County, Community College Board of Trustees. Do this, get active, take control of your city, and make sure we get the right people in the right places, and find those 10 people and go out and vote.
All right, who's your recommendations for council?
Well, in Ward 1, Ryan Spencer. 2 is Roger Tarbutton. 3, Jim Kite.
Okay.
4, is Scott Moser for sure. 5 is Sheila Rodriguez. 6 is Jeff Cox.
There you go. Spencer, Tarbutton, Kite, Moser, Rodriguez, and Cox. We like all those for Overland Park Council. Is that right?
That's it.
Imagine what you could get done if they all won.
Oh my goodness. It'd be a beautiful thing.
Okay. So Mike for mayor, and then find your council person. Last name, either Spencer, Tarbutton, Kite, Moser, Rodriguez, or Cox. Let's get it done, and let's get that council flipped too. That'd be great stuff, man. Mike, we wish you the very best. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, and we know you worked at AMC and Applebee's as an executive. True or false, if you win Tuesday night, you will be playing Fancy Like Applebee's as the theme song.
I know that's one of your favorites. We'll play it.
It was one of my favorites. Now it's overplayed.
way overplayed.
Way overplayed. I knew they'd make a commercial out of it, though. I just knew Applebee's would grab it and run with it, and it's been good for them, I think. So, that's good for Kansas City. When that happens, that's good for all of us. So, appreciate that. Good luck to you, Mike.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care. See you Tuesday.
All right, let's say hello to Mark Hamill, who is running for Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees. He is a Lenexa resident, Emporia State graduate after attending Johnson County Community College, business and accounting major. He's off in business, but man, he sees what's going on in all the schools in higher education, and he is running for Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees. He is a tried and true conservative. We're pleased to have Mark on KKHI. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
First, how's it going? Have you been in politics before? Is this your first time?
This is my very first time. I volunteered for a few candidates here last year and decided that I wanted to put my hat in the ring.
I guess in a way, it's not really politics. You have to run for office and you have to win an election, which makes it politics. But a board of trustees for a community college is a very specific thing that you want to do. You attended Johnson County Community College. You got your associate's degree there before going to Emporia State. Why is this so important?
So, this school has been in my family for a few generations. People have attended there. I love that school, and my experience was absolutely amazing. while I attended. The teachers were better there than I had in my junior high and high school. And it was very non-political, and it was really about preparing people for their future, whether it was going on in a career or going on to your four-year university. And I want to make sure we preserve that for next generations.
Okay, so it's a 7-member board, and 4 seats are available right now. So the makeup of this thing could turn. Right now, it's 4 Republicans, 3 Democrats, but the Republicans aren't Mark Hamill. I'll just tell everybody that. They're not Kevin Keatsman. They're not Mark Hamill. They're not Donald Trump. They're not really conservative. What is the board doing okay? Is Johnson County Community College okay now, or is it getting wacky like a lot of other places?
So unfortunately, as great as the school has been in the last, previously, it's won many awards of excellence, and we're kind of falling away from it. They're getting away from, again, preparing students for their future, and they're getting away from, they're going towards social engineering is what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And they're getting the wrong focus. And if you want to fix a society socially, you prepare the students there for the next step in their career instead of telling them that they're victims or they're an oppressor.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And so this is where they're going right now.
And affordability is an issue too here, and so is enrollment. What do you see happening with JCCC?
So unfortunately, like a lot of colleges, enrollment's down, and they've lost students every year for the last 10 years to the tune of 24%. And most people are unaware with that. When I attended school about 20 years ago, I think I paid $43 a credit hour, and now we're at $94.
Oh, boy.
And again, it's still cheaper than a lot of other colleges, and it's imperative we don't keep raising our tuition. But we also can't keep raising taxes. The budget has gone up 45% over that same 10 years while they're doing 24% less work. And we got to figure out how to get these balances of the budget better correctly, because we can't keep charging it to the taxpayers of Johnson County, obviously.
Okay, so the cheat sheet here for Johnson County voters when you go to the polls November 2nd is Mark Hamill, Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees. There is no R or red check mark by your name or anything like that. So when we go vote for these, and why we're doing this podcast, these school positions, we don't know who we're voting for a lot of times, and people guess. We want to take the guesswork out. What we know is you are tried and true conservative, and so is Dr. Jerry Melnar. Tell me a little bit about Dr. Melnar, and would it be okay if people went in and just voted for the two of you and nobody else?
Yeah, so there's going to be 9 people on the ballot. You can vote for up to 4. Me and Jerry are the 2 conservative picks, and it's definitely a great way to pick. And I have a lot of people saying that's how they're going to vote. I want to tell people it's really between you and God, and to pray about it, go how you feel led. I'm not the one telling you to how to vote necessarily. But yes, there's a lot of people saying push and only vote for 2.
Because you can make a mistake. If you start guessing on the other ones, just don't do it. So we want to go Hamill, Melnar, and the other Republicans running are not very conservative. Is that what I'm hearing? They're not very trustworthy? Or
There's a Paul Snyder, and he is absolutely one of the best on that board, if he's not the best. And he is a Republican, self-described moderate, good guy. He's not, again, but he's not the conservative voice. So some people are voting 3, and I'm good with that too. So
Hamill,
I'll leave it to the voters.
Hamill, Melnar, Snyder would be a good run when you're voting for Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees. That would work.
That would definitely work.
That works for you. Okay. So why are you doing this? We're seeing people pop up all over the country that have gone to school board meetings, things like that. This is a college, so it's a little different than, your junior high student or your high school student. We've seen these parents. Do you sense that's happening a lot in the Kansas City area, in Johnson County? Are parents fed up with public education in many ways? And do you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a 6, a 4, and a 3-year-old. And, living in the Midwest, a lot of these issues you see on the East Coast and West Coast, you kind of feel insulated, and we don't have to deal with quite the same issues. We live in a very good community here in the metro. And again, we just don't have to deal with those things. And here we are. We've kind of denied ourselves. We haven't paid attention. But these things are here, and we're dealing with we're going to turn into California East if we're not careful. And I don't want their problems here. I like what we have. I'm a 5th-generation Kansan. My kids are 6th-generation Kansans, and I want to make sure we grew up in the same America that I grew up in, and for all the other kids that have to go through these systems. And again, our high schools and our grade schools are failing. And, I think I read something that 30-some% of our students graduating from high school can't read at a high school level. They can't do math at a high school level. And again, they're failing, and they're focusing on the wrong things. Instead of teaching them the actual basics they need to be focused on, we're basically setting them up for failure. We're causing these problems that we're trying to fix. just by telling them that there is a problem instead of actually giving them the tools to fix them.
The website is markhamill4jccc.com. That's Mark Hamill 4, the numeral 4, jccc.com. If people go there, how can they help with a few days left before Election Day? Could use a little help. Volunteers, how can people help you out?
Absolutely. Right now, time is critical. If you're interested in getting help, you could, you know, throw some money on there, whether it's $20 or whatever you can afford. You can also get out and help me knock doors. We're walking. I'm walking about 5 days a week and putting up signs. We usually have volunteer events on Saturdays and Sundays. And welcome. You can hit my website up if you want to get a sign in your yard. If there's something else that you think you can do or want to help with, please give me a shout.
You know, we had Mike Senege on a few weeks ago on the podcast, and he's running for mayor of Overland Park. And he said knocking doors was a complete eye-opening experience for him. And it literally, you know, he was the largest vote getter in the primary. So the only reason is he was the only guy really out there knocking on doors, that if you make a connection with people, you start asking questions, you feel like you have something in common, you get their vote. What are you hearing from people when you're knocking on doors?
Yeah, the response has been absolutely great. I am, you know, I went a little softer. Everybody told me, hey, Mark, tone yourself down. You're too conservative. And I tried it a little bit, but that's not me. I can't do that. And so I'm going pretty hard and going very strong that I am a conservative. I want traditional values. I want our schools to focus on the basics, let the families take care of those traditional values for themselves. And the response has been great and overwhelming. And I'm having a lot of success when I'm knocking on these doors where people want this, want my sign in their yard. So I had a guy here just the other day said, I've never had a political sign in my life. And he was 87 years old. He said, but go ahead and put one in my yard. So
that's outstanding. That's great. All right. Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees, Mark Hamill, Dr. Jerry Malnar, and Paul Snyder. Don't vote for a fourth, because then you're just throwing darts and guessing. There's your Republicans, the two conservatives, Hamill and Malnar, and Paul Snyder, we think is okay. He's gonna be an okay moderate Republican. Let's keep that board, man. We wish you the very best.
Hey, thank you so much for your time.
Now we welcome on to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, Jennifer Gilmore. She's running for Olathe School Board. Her website is jennyforolathe.com. That's jennyforolathe.com. With a few days left until Election Day, you can help. Put a yard sign in, go door to door, make a donation, whatever you'd like to do. If Olathe schools are important to you, Jenny is here for you. Can I call you Jenny, or Jennifer Gilmore sounds much more official now that you're running for office?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because in the beginning, we kind of went back and forth. Everyone that knows me calls me Jenny, but, you know, my legal name is Jennifer. So I'll just answer to anyone that wants to ask me a question.
Okay, you strike me. You've never run for office. You strike me as what we've seen a lot of clips on YouTube and the internet and on TV of parents, moms, people over the last, I don't know, 2 to 5 years maybe, that things have happened in their school districts or with their children's experiences at school, or with critical race theory coming on board and all these different things, the mask mandate certainly, and now they're going to try to mandate vaccines for kids in schools. I think that's all coming down the pike. Parents have gotten very, very active, and I'm guessing you're one of those people that said, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to run for school board. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, last year when the schools decided to close schools through the pandemic, we were part of the groups that kind of protested. And, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about mental health and wellness, but yet we were isolating healthy kids. And we knew as parents that the best place for our children was to be in a classroom with educators and, you know, just really growing their minds and learning. And we knew that it was wrong right away, that most of our kids, I have a sixth grader now and a preschooler, she'll be in kindergarten next year. And just really want to have some say into what the kids are doing during the day and what they're learning.
Okay, so the Olathe School Board is 7 members, and right now there are 0 conservatives on that board, and we believe 3 very moderate centrist Republicans. Is that what you think the makeup is right now?
That's what we would think. Just kind of going off the way that the votes take place, it's very much this board is do as I say, not as I do. I mean, we've seen multiple of them vote for kids to be masked in classrooms, but then living their lives freely, you know, out and about. So when it comes down to just constitutional Republicans, I would say we have 0.
Okay. See, I don't think many constitutional or conservative Republicans have run for these spots before. I think everybody I'm talking to right now, Jennifer, These boards have all the same makeup. It seems like you're in a slight minority with Republicans, and the ones that are there are not very conservative or not very constitutional, and they'll float over to the left with them to, you know, keep the media away or keep from any controversy happening or whatever. I think we're going to see a lot of people like yourself run this time, and I think that's great. This is an easy one in Olathe for everybody listening, okay? There's three seats available, and there's six names on the ballot. These are head-to-head matchups. So Jennifer Gilmore is with us. You want to vote for Jennifer. You want to vote for Robert Kuhn and Brian Connell. We'll repeat the names again as we go forward. We've done them here on our cheat sheet. But I can't even imagine what would happen to the Olathe school board if all three of you won. If we got three genuine conservatives on the board, you guys would have your own little caucus, could basically run that thing, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, we have a fourth member on there that would, I think, vote with us on a lot of the issues. But even just with the mask, I mean, we've been asking for 18 months for the district to hold a special meeting just to talk about the pandemic and COVID, and they refused to. And they've emailed us and said, we refuse to have a special meeting, which, you know, this is something that impacts so many families. And when they decided to close schools, many parents, if they were nurses or fire or police, you know, they had to go to work still. So they couldn't just leave their kids at home, and you were really making, you know, it's more stressful on our frontline workers when they closed schools, and they weren't willing to figure it out. So I think that's where people would really see the change, that the three of us truly do believe that we would be elected to serve, and we have that burden to answer to the constituents, which is what we don't have right now on the board.
So, you know, they're mandating these kids do all this stuff, wear masks, and I see in California and other places, and I think it's coming. I mean, if this thing keeps going, it's coming. As soon as they approve the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds, the government's going to want to mandate kids in school having the shots, because they're doing it to people that are employees as a condition of being employed. There's no stopping it. Where would you stand on issues like that?
Well, you know, a lot of that too, I had talked to Derek Smith this past week and kind of asked from a larger government perspective of what they were going to do with these mandates, because it will be tough for school boards to fight this one by one. But you do have some companies right now kind of laying low, not mandating, waiting to see what happens with the lawsuits. So the three of us, I mean, we're not anti-vax. We don't believe that the masks are needed or working for the kids. And we've kind of seen that in other districts. I think DeSoto, October 31st, is going back to mask optional, and Spring Hill has been mask optional. So, you know, I think that families will do what they need to do to protect their families. And the ones that need masks or want masks, they'll do that. And the ones that don't, you can take your kids anywhere else in the city right now unmasked, except for school in a controlled classroom where contact tracing is very easy because the teacher knows who was around who. And especially at the elementary level, you have structured hand washing and they can clean the desk and the teacher knows who's, you know, sick or has allergies. But yeah, we're acting like, you know, they're the ones highly infected by the pandemic. And that just wasn't the case. We have plenty of data and, you know, if we're following the science, we know that it wasn't affecting these kids. So to make the mandates with the kids on the vaccine for COVID, we would be very, very, very cautious with that, because we don't know the long-term effects for these kids. And I would hate to make that decision for a family when they should be making that with their individual health providers.
Well, it hasn't gone unnoticed by me and many other conservatives around America that they don't say follow the science anymore. They don't. I mean, we don't hear that from the left anymore. They did that forever, and it was fake from the jump. They just thought, oh, we're going to tell you that we've got science on our side. Well, there's no science with the kids. There's no data that the kids are in any real danger here. I've not understood this at all with kids, but I don't understand any of it. I do understand that for every action, there's a reaction. And the reaction is Jennifer Gilmore, Robert Kuhn, and Brian Connell are all running for school board in Olathe, which is a big school district. It will affect the education of a lot of young people over the next few years and what they learn and what that school system is like. If we can get conservatives in there, constitutional Republicans, we can make a big difference for these kids going forward, man. I'm inspired by you, Jennifer. I really am. I'm inspired by you and the others that you're running and doing this.
Yeah, you know, it's a great opportunity for us. You know, with the decisions that some of these boards have made, they are losing constituents, because we saw a decline in Olathe, over 1,000 students last year, but yet Spring Hill had the growth. So I think people are kind of looking at how these boards are operating and how they're treated in the schools, and, you know, if it's safe for their kids to be in these classrooms. And the large piece too, that more than COVID, because that hopefully is short term, is our curriculum and where it's going and the transparency in that. So parents are kind of wanting to know, you know, what is being taught, what's being shifted from what we were taught to what the kids are taught now. And it's a great opportunity for just everyone to kind of get involved and, you know, do great things.
Now, I don't want to give her name, who you're running against, because I don't want to confuse anybody listening. I just want to say Jennifer Gilmore over and over and over. And so people know Gilmore is the way to vote. So let's not use her name at all, really. But you're running against a far left liberal, okay, that is somewhat attached to the head of the board, who's a Republican, and people could get confused by this. Don't be confused. Your opponent is hard left. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, she came out of the gate swinging, calling us unqualified, disgruntled parents. So that's her viewpoint of every parent, is that she knows better than you, and backed by the union, handpicked by the OLESA National Educators Union, and her campaign finances shows that she's kind of been backed by Washington. Most of her campaign stuff she took out of state, so she doesn't even think that she needs to go local in a local school board race. So it kind of says a lot about you know, how she'll be as a leader and what we're looking for when we say we want to represent parents and give you that voice. That's truly what we mean. I mean, we're willing to listen. I've had 4 months of campaigning, and you know, meet and greets and coffees and door knocking and just really hearing what people want. And, you know, this is a great time just for dads to step up. I mean, I feel like it's kind of normal for the moms to, you know, be in the schools and PTOs and doing all the bake sales. But this is a time for dads to say, what do you want your daughters and sons learning? You know, what kind of people do you want them to grow up to be and value in our country? And, you know, it's just really a time that we need to come together and realize we can't be sleepy on this. It's we either turn the tide now, or it's the beginning of the end.
Right. I know that's what you said. Parents have been sleeping, and I was one of them. I just sent my kids off to Olathe schools, and life was good. And I probably wasn't nearly as involved as I should have been. And I see some things in them that I don't think I would have taught them, but whatever, and, you know, it happens. But I want to go back to what you said, that your opponent, this is a nonpartisan race. It doesn't say Republican or Democrat, which is why I'm doing these podcasts. I want people to know Jennifer Gilmore's name. So it doesn't say on the ballot. You're telling me your opponent, who's a hard lefty, is getting money from Washington, D.C. liberals and the money that they raise there for an Olathe school board position?
Well, she's using them for her marketing. So I don't know that she's necessarily getting money, but she is getting money from PAC. And using Washington, D.C. to run her campaign.
Okay.
So her and another city council member. So they very much, she came out swinging with the Democrats, and, you know, in a nonpartisan race for someone like me that, you know, tried to in the beginning, you know, it's kind of funny. People would say, well, I don't know where you stand because the issues, you know, you don't stay on there. I'm like, well, the race is supposed to be nonpartisan. But, you know, it was hard to do that because my opponent launched her campaign Washington. So
we always hear about suburban moms and the way they've kind of moved left or gone toward the Democrat Party. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think that everyone just wants to get along. You know, you have, you know, if your kids play sports or in dance or choir or just any of those extra activities, you just want to be around people and just you want everyone to just feel good. And you know, it's starting to come down to where parents are saying, you know what, I want to just stand with my values. And that's where I think this is becoming a little different. And we have so much division because people would just kind of just play nice and greet their friends and not really get in. You know, you always said, don't talk religion or politics at the dinner table. And now it's almost the opposite. It's like, you need to know where you stand and fight for what you believe in, because we're slowly losing this little by little in our country.
Wow. You've got my vote. You've got Jessica's vote. Jenny4Olathe.com is the website. If you can help in any way with a donation or a yard sign or anything you can do, go get a Jenny4Olathe.com website and see how you can help. Jennifer, I'm inspired by you. Please pass along our very best to Robert Kuhn and Brian Connell. Again, it's Gilmore, Kuhn, and Connell, Olathe School Board. You get three votes there. You want to vote there. All three conservative. As of right now, 7 members on that board, 0 conservatives, 0. We need to get all 3 of them on there with the moderate Republicans and take that thing over. Go get them, Jennifer.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
All right. It's important to remember that a great name in Olathe is Gilmore, is Kevin Gilmore, is running for city council there as well. So we've got an opportunity for a couple of different Gilmores there. Jennifer with the school board. And remember, Gilmore, they're unrelated, but Gilmore is good. Gilmore is good. So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've covered, obviously, the Overland Park mayoral race, the Johnson County Board of Trustees for Johnson County Community College, the Olathe School District. If you want, here comes the cheat sheet. It's coming up. We also covered Overland Park Council members as well with Mike Zenneke. If you want an excellent resource for a complete cheat sheet, because there are many city elections, mayors, council, we will not go into all of those. We're focusing on a lot of boards here, and a lot of these will be outside of Johnson County. They're in Kansas because there's elections all over the place. The school board thing is really important because it's very confusing to go in there and know what you're doing. But it's pretty easy through most resources to find out who you're voting for mayor or city council. If you don't know how to do that, the best resource that has been sent to me, and many of you sent different links, is to go to your county Republican Party. In this case, for many of these elections, Johnson County Republican Party of Kansas, JCRPKS, Johnson County Republican Party, Kansas, KS.org. That's JCRPCS.org. And you will find, I mean, if you printed them out, it would probably be 30 pages of things that are on ballots, depending on where you live, depending on what ward you're in, for something as small as, let's say, a single ward for city council in the city of Fairway versus a county election or something that's up that so many people, so many more people will vote on. So that's a great cheat sheet. Depending on where you live, if you're trying to find out about council and mayor, look it up. It's easily accessible online. If you can't get help there, go to the Republican Party website of Kansas and they can help direct you. Make a phone call to somebody, find out, find somebody in the Republican Party in your city. If you know one Republican candidate or one Republican board member on your city council, find them. Who else do I vote for? What am I looking for? Feel free to walk in with your cheat sheet and make sure you get this right, because these can be very complicated and difficult. Everybody that's running and everybody in politics tells me, and this is new to me, don't guess. If you're not sure, don't go vote for someone else. What you want to do is go in there and tilt things in advantage for your candidates. If you're looking for a conservative candidate and says you can vote for up for 3, but you only know one person out of 6 in front of you is conservative, just vote for the one. Just vote for the one. Just get the vote there. If you don't know, you could actually be negating your vote by voting for someone else or guessing. So only vote for conservatives that you know that are conservative. And I think that's just great advice. So this is a shorter cheat sheet. We're going to go through. These are a lot of board members, and I can't thank so many of you for sending me all of the different elections and all the different things that can be voted on that are very difficult to find. But remember, go to your county website, go to your Republican website, and go find out the candidates that are listed by them. They'll help you out with a website by county or with your city or municipality or somebody within your town. All right, so here we go. Let's start with the Shawnee Mission School District. We know what's on the line in the Shawnee Mission School District. Josiah Enyart quit. Remember this several months ago? The award-winning teacher that quit because of all the mandates and what the government was going to try to force him to do and things that were going on and the rules that they had. And he said, I'm quitting. I'm not doing this. The wackos running the Shawnee Mission School District right now that changed the name of my high school from Indians to Bison are out of control, and they run this board. And they do not fit the citizens of the Shawnee Mission School District. They do not. But they are in power, and until they are gone, there's nothing that can be done. And we lose great teachers like Josiah Enyart, which is just an absolute tragedy that this district would allow someone that good, an educator that good, to leave. They don't care because they know he's conservative. They're like, we don't care if he leaves. We'll just fill the position with somebody that's a leftist like us. So they're getting ready to start in the Shawnee Mission School District something called mandatory training for teachers. And this is on the line. This is really disgusting stuff. The person that they have hired and paid big money to come in and consult the district to work on mandatory training for teachers is one of the biggest far-left Washington, D.C. think tank socialist people with the teachers union you could ever imagine. He's written very controversial papers and studies on critical race theory, up and down the list. I don't need to go down the list of all the wacky things going on in schools, okay? This person will try to educate teachers on not saying boys' restroom or girls' restroom, men's room, get rid of all of that stuff. You can't even believe what's going to happen if they do this mandatory training for these teachers. And once they train them as part of their job requirement, they'll be required to follow the rules that are implemented by this board. They got to go. Shawnee Mission School District's in a bad way right now. So here's who you're voting for: Brian Nielsen, Dr. Zach Roberts, and Sean Claycamp. Really important in the Shawnee Mission School District. Please write these down. If you don't live in Shawnee Mission, but you know voters, or if you know conservatives that are living in that district, please call them and give them these names. If you know people in the Shawnee Mission School District, tell them Nielsen, Roberts, Claycamp for school board. That's three different votes. Nielsen, Roberts, and Claycamp. Got to have your vote on that Shawnee Mission School District board. In DeSoto, again, it's a three-name deal to go in and vote. And let's not be confused by how many names are on the ballot or how many positions are available. It doesn't matter. I'm giving you the names of people that you can be trusted conservatives to vote for. Do not vote for anyone else. Don't guess. DeSoto, Kansas School Board: Emily Carpenter, Amy Parker, Crystal Duke. That sounds like three moms to me that have said, we're going in and we're taking back this school board. We don't like what we see here. We're going to make sure that this is run the way we want it to be run. DeSoto School Board: Emily Carpenter, Amy Parker, Crystal Duke. That's Carpenter, Parker, Duke. Blue Valley School District, they call this Team BMW. That helps a little bit. Okay, it's Team BMW for the Blue Valley School District. Three votes for school district conservatives, BMW and Blue Valley. Blue Valley, BMW, just think Blue Valley and all the kids that drive BMWs. That's easy. We're going to go Bowers, McMallon, and White. It's Katie Bowers, Jim McMallon, and Christine White. Bowers, McMallon, White, Blue Valley School District, BMW. Bowers, McMallon, White. Lansing, Kansas School Board. This is a little more complicated. A councilman there needs to be named Dan Clemens. A lot of people saying it's very important that Dan Clemens get on the council in Lansing, so that's not school board. The school board has a candidate that is going in as a write-in that is a conservative that did not get in time. So there are four you can do here, but one you have to write in. I'm going to separate the write-in candidate for a second because I don't want to confuse you if you're writing these down and trying to keep score. So in Lansing, Kansas, if you know relatives or friends in Lansing, let them know. Amy Covey, Jeff Bolin, and Mary Wood. That's Amy Covey, Jeff Bolin, and Mary Wood. That's three, top-notch, boom, Lansing School Board. There is a write-in candidate. If you can remember it and you want to write it in, you can write in April Kramer. April Kramer is a write-in candidate. You will not find that on the ballot. So we're going Covey, Bolin, Wood in Lansing. And if you want to write in April Kramer, you have to spell the name right. It has to be the exact spell. It has to be everything. Writing in is very, very difficult, but you can do it. I heard from folks in Topeka that have a school board member in the Shawnee Heights School Board that they believe is very important. This one's easy to remember, and it's just one name: Topeka Shawnee Heights School Board, Christina Flaming. Christina Flaming. Just think bstock.net is on Flaming, South Flaming Road. You know, there must be a Flaming family in Kansas. That must be what that is, right? I've never really heard that name or that street name until I, you know, met Chris and the guys at Bstock, started doing business out there on Flaming Road. Most of the roads out in that part of Olathe are named after families that had ranches or land or whatever way back in the day. Christina Flaming is running for school board in Shawnee Heights, Topeka. So let's get her in, Christina Flaming. In Eudora, the school board in Eudora, we're going Eric Votaw, Joe Hurls, Heather Whalen, and Chris Grosdidier. You don't have to spell it. These are not be write-ins. So Chris Grosdidier, I'm saying it probably wrong. It might be Grosdieter sometimes. They say it different ways. Votaw, Hurls, Whalen, Grosdidier. There you go. In Eudora. Perfect. Baser Linwood School Board. These are write-in candidates only. And I don't think the ballot is write-in only. If you're in Baser Linwood and you want to make this happen, you got to write these down and you got to spell them right. Position four is Nate Stroup, Stroup. That is a write-in only. Position four. For position five, it is Richard Zamora, Zamora. So Baser Linwood, if you know folks there, let them know. Nate Stroup, Stroup, for position four. and for position 5, Richard Zamora, Z-A-M-O-R-A. We have several days left until Election Day. There is early voting open, or you can vote on Election Day, November 2nd. This is a small election, but for the first time in my life, small elections like school boards seem really important to me. I do believe that the Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees is a very big deal. I do. I believe Mike for mayor is very important for everyone in the Kansas City area. If you live in Missouri and you have relatives that live in Overland Park, you got to tell them it's not a big election. There's no president on the ballot. You're not voting for governor or senator or anything like that. But go vote Mike for mayor. It will make a real difference in your community. It is said in politics that the lower level the position, the more impact it has on your life. In other words, if we say the school boards are the lesser positions here, because these aren't really politicians, think of the impact they will have in your life, in your community, not just now by running the schools that you pay tax dollars to, but in what they teach young people and how young people are taught, how they are raised, and how they move forward in life. Imagine the impression that you had from your high school teachers. Think back to that. I actually was influenced more by my high school teachers than my college professors. But I went to a bigger school, and I think that's not uncommon. If you go to a major university, and I was not impressionable. I did not go to college and think my professors are gods and they start, you know, pumping me full of this stuff that I'm just going to lap it up. And you know what? They were up against a brick wall because when I was in college, Reagan was president. So they had no chance. I was listening to Reagan. That was easy. I was watching a country that had just gone through Jimmy Carter turn into Ronald Reagan. And so I was done for life. That was the easiest decision of my life. This works. That didn't. Pretty simple stuff. It'll you know, forge you in steel at that point. And hopefully we're doing that with young people right now with all these Let's Go Brandon chanters that are out there. A lot of these are young people that are going to the gas pump going, what? They got their car and they just watched their gas prices double, you know, and then they're trying to go to college or junior college or they're in high school. They want to go out on date night and they're told, oh, you got to wear a mask. You have all these requirements, all these mandates in school. You think this is working with these school kids? Do you think they like wearing masks in school? They do not like wearing masks in school. They don't like being told what to do. And they are going to find out who's doing that to them and who won't do that to them. And they got a cousin that lives in Texas or Florida that says, we don't have that down here. Our governor's cool. He's a Republican. That matters. This all matters. And this is not a big election. I cannot, you know, try to oversell this thing and say, boy, this is life and death. We had that last November. And we're paying the very dear price for Biden winning. It is a huge price we're paying right now. But if you get involved at the local level, it can actually impact your life more quickly in your neighborhood, in your community, and you can't imagine the difference you can make. So thanks to everyone for suggesting having these folks on the show, on the podcast, and, you know, bringing them on and having them tell their stories and what they're about and working on a little bit of a cheat sheet. I know it was a lot of information. I know it's only audio. It's hard to write down, but it is at least there. It's a resource that you can refer other people to if they want to go listen to it. Say, hey, I think you'll like, you know, Mike Zinnege for mayor. Go listen to this interview over at KKHI and see what you think. So at least it gives you a reference point to share with others and say, this is an election day Tuesday. It is important. All elections matter. And we need to become the party that has the best turnout. It's just not any more complicated than that. We have to be the people that always vote. And we have to be people that round up other people to go vote and say, let's go do this. It's not hard. There will not be long lines. There won't be much on this Tuesday, or if you go early before then, you can early vote. There won't be much. And so this is on us now. We see what happens. It's been a long time since we saw the difference between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and now we have seen in the reverse, we've seen the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and it's not pretty. And everybody knows that their policies don't work. This is not hard. It's not complicated. We know the conservative way works best in America. It is best for more people in America, and it's not close. This is best what's going on right now for the ruling class, for the elites, and that's what they're all about, is themselves and staying in power. So we certainly appreciate that. This one a little disjointed today, but we appreciate, as always, the sponsors of KKHI, 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com, Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com, bstock.net, we talked about those fine boys, Hutch and my gang over at Amazing Garage Floors. Oh, boy, they'll be voting. That whole bunch is going to be, these people are all going to be voting now. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Back 9 Development. TJ and his crew at Back 9 Development and the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere online at Back9Development.com. And Dr. Jeremy Fry, I think we mentioned him at the top of the show as well. He was excited for this election day and ready to rock it and roll it with KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.